But I do enjoy laughing at other people more than at myself. I will admit that. And we have a good time. I appreciate Brother Mason doing this and letting us be here. Looking forward to a good time of games, but also in the Word of God. Just so I can kind of know who I'm preaching to here. How long, or let's do this. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. If you're saved and you know it, raise your hand. You're saved and you know it. All right, good. How many of you have been saved more than 5 years? 10 years? Good, good. Now, we're going to get old enough that some of y'all aren't going to be able to keep your hands up, right? 15 years? Good. 20? 30? 40? 50? Good night. Moses, put your hand down. It's all right. I mean, good grief. I get it, all right? I get it. Oh, man. I am going to preach to you, and I like to laugh. You know me. I'm going to joke a lot. I laugh a lot, and I'll spend some time doing that, probably a little bit more tomorrow. I'm going to try to get a little more serious for 20, 25 minutes with you. I hope you've been saved long enough that you want to walk with the Lord. I hope you've been saved long enough to want to walk with the Lord. Y'all are at a pivotal moment in your life. You may not realize it, probably don't. But some of the decisions you're going to make in the stage of your life you're at now set the direction for the rest of your life. And so these are important decisions. And sometimes people in your age group think you have to wait until you get my age group before you get serious about God. And I'm going to try to help you get serious about God tonight. I hope you are. I hope that's your desire. And we'll tie probably this message and tomorrow's together. And so this will be the groundwork, but it's going to be important. In just a minute, I'll have you stand. Matthew chapter 16 is a great chapter. Matthew chapter 16. There's so much here. We're going to get into just one verse here in a minute. And we're going to end up here in just a minute in verse 24. But what happens before that matters to understanding what Jesus is saying in verse 24. So let's stand together. We'll read a few verses here. Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Now jump down to verse 24 where he says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Father, in the few minutes that we have, just a simple, simple thought that I hope will help us walk closer to you. Would you help us get this point across the way you want? Would your spirit use the word of God and guide us to truth in Jesus' name? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, there's a whole message, obviously, and I imagine you've heard messages preached out of 13, 14, 15, and 16. But it is very important. It doesn't matter who everybody else thinks Jesus is. This is really, really important. And too many times we have a tendency to tell everybody what everybody else thinks about something. You need to know what you think about it. You need to know what you believe. It matters, and it only really matters who you say Jesus is. That it really only matters who he is to you, right? So it doesn't matter that he's your parents' God or your parents' Savior or your pastor's Savior or your whoever's in charge of your college and career class, that they understand who God is. At some point, you have to get to the place that you know who God is to you. Who is He to you? Now, I won't embarrass anybody except people from our church. How's that? Brother Mason already covered this, but I just want to take just a couple minutes and make sure. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He died for your sin. He paid your sin debt. He paid your penalty in hell. And you've accepted His free gift He offered to you individually. You know Him as your Savior. Now, if I were to ask you when you got saved, you ought to know like that. You ought to know like that. You ought to know where you were when you got saved. You ought to, you say, Brother God, I don't remember the exact date or whatever, but you ought to know where. You ought to know where it was. I made a profession at the age of 6. I was not saved. I knew I was lost at 9 at the dining room table at our house waiting for Dad after church till he got home to talk to him that I knew I was lost. I was under conviction. At 9, I felt convicted for my sin. See, at 6, I knew what church was. I knew what the Bible was. I knew who God was. I knew what Jesus was. There was a trailer park behind our house where we lived. And at 7 and 8, I was taking tracts from church and leading kids in the trailer park to the Lord, not even being saved. Because why? I had never personally felt convicted. I had never personally been drawn to salvation. I knew the words. I could say the words. I could recite a prayer, but I wasn't saved because I didn't have a personal Savior. I knew who He was to Dad. I knew who He was. I knew all that, but He was not that to me. You need to make sure you know who Jesus Christ is to you. Right? Chad, where were you when you got saved? Emily, where were you when you got saved? Ashley, where were you? You're not from my church, but I'm going to embarrass you anyway. Ashley. Okay? So if I were to call your name, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but you ought to know. See, you can't get to verse 24 without getting this first part figured out. Who do you say that I am? Everybody else is saying this. It doesn't matter. Jesus looked at them and said, who do you say that I am, right? So again, it's not my message. I don't want to preach all that, but you have to have this settled. And then He comes down a little bit farther. And this is interesting in verse 24. He said, then said Jesus unto His disciples. I'm always amazed when I read that, that these were the guys committed to Him. These were the men that were saying they're going to follow. These were the people that would spend time with Him and walk with Him. And yet Jesus turns to them and says to these disciples these words, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. Young people, I'm here to tell you tonight, you cannot walk with God if you are not willing to deny yourself. Can't do it. We live in a world that is consumed with telling you life is all about you. It's all about you. It's what you want. It's your dreams. It's your thoughts. It's whatever you want to do. They've done everything they can to remove anything that would cause any boundaries or obstacles or any guilty conscience, even for any wrongdoing. That they want to tell you that it's all about just feeling good and having fun and do what makes you happy. And if you are going to walk with God, I'm here to tell you tonight, the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, says, you cannot come after Me. You cannot be My disciple. You cannot follow Me if you are not willing to deny yourself. Now, we got all the young people here in the first 3 or 4 rows, but this goes all the way to the back. All of us have to make a decision to deny ourselves to follow God. Now, I would assume that you want an end result, and maybe many of you in this room would say, you know what, Brother Glenn? I would love one day to be married, have my own family, have a wife or a husband, and raise our children and serve God. And I want to do that. Listen, if you want those things, then I would say to young men, I say it to mostly young men, then live in a way that God can answer your prayer. I had a young man come in years ago and sit down with me, and his friends were all getting married. He was wanting to get married, couldn't understand why he wasn't getting married. And so we sat down and we went through some things of why God couldn't answer his prayer. You have a part-time job. You drove in a car with a muffler dragging on the ground. You can't hardly take care of yourself. Why would God give you a wife to take care of? Live in a way that what you're asking God for, he can answer your prayer. You young men, you need to be living in a way that when you ask God for a wife, that God says, I can answer their prayer. They're living in a way that allows me to answer that prayer. The only way you're ever going to live that way is if you're willing to deny yourself. Young ladies, you're going to live in a way that one day you will be the kind of wife that God wants you to have. I jokingly said this the other day, and our church didn't laugh very much, so I'm hoping y'all laugh when I say it this time. There was a joke somebody sent me and gave to me, and they said that God had promised that in every corner of the world that there would be submissive women for men to marry. And then he made the world round. That's right. That was a good one. I got it. Yeah, y'all are smarter than my church. I can tell you right now. Listen, if you want to be that kind of wife that God wants you to be, live in a way that would allow God to answer the prayer. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny your flesh. That's hard to do, isn't it? Man, wouldn't it have been great if we all got saved, and as soon as we got saved, God took our flesh away from us and we could just live to please the Lord? And that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But our flesh is there. But you need to remember and realize God never created anyone that he intended for them to live for themselves. You hear me? God's never created anyone with the intention that they live for themselves. By the way, I say this to our people all the time. God never intended for you to try to figure life out on your own. He gave you an instruction manual in the Word of God that tells you how to live a life that would please the Lord, tells you how to have a life that is fulfilled and one that you could enjoy. And he gives it to us in Scripture. His desire, obviously, is that all of his creation would worship and serve him. So you have to resist, deny your flesh. You must resist your flesh's desire to date the wrong person, to take a job that pulls you away from God, to deny your tongue from just letting it say whatever it wants to say, to deny your mind to think just whatever it wants to think. And this is a true statement, and it's so important for you to understand. Every battle you're going to fight is going to be fought in your mind. It's in your mind. Every battle you fight is in your mind. That's why Satan, the world, the way in man works is they're after the mind of people. They want how people think. They want to change the way you think, because the battle is won or lost in the mind. Before you ever do the wrong thing, you've decided in your mind you're going to do the wrong thing. Everybody talks about the action or what happened or the actual event. You need to rewind to where somebody, some point in time made a decision in your mind to do something that God didn't want them to do. And when they lost that decision, it now started a process that would end where, if you've been in the ministry very long, is very, very predictable. But you lose that in your mind because you won't deny your flesh. I have a young man that came into my office just the last 3 weeks. He sat down. And if you've been in ministry very long, I'm sure Brother Merrick has been through this, and I hope this is never your case. But you sit down and you start talking to them, and the reality is they're not in asking your advice. They're in to inform you of what they're going to do, but they want to check off the box that they talked to pastor about it. And I just really stressed to him, your desire to do this, You have to ask some questions. And we began to go over the questions. And he had no good answer for all the questions. But he had already decided, this is what I want to do. He would not deny his flesh. Now I'm telling you, unless God gets a hold of him, and I'm still working on him, I'm still praying for him, I'm still trying to help him, I'm holding out hope that God's going to do something. But if he continues down the path he's on, he's destined to end up where so many others have ended up. Just in a moment of not denying his flesh. You're going to have to deny. You're going to have to deny. You say, Brother Glenn, I can deny my flesh. Really? Stop. This is for the girls from our group. Because they all ran to get coffee as soon as we stopped. Don't drink coffee. Uh-oh, some of the older men are back there like, wait a minute, this is a singles conference. I'm leaving this place. It's not about coffee. It's about your ability to deny yourself. I do this every now and then, not for health, because if I was doing it for health, I'd be skinnier than I am. But I will take a month every now and then, and I'll say, listen, manna, you know the manna in the Old Testament that fell? That was Hawaiian rolls. I'm telling you, that's what it was. It was Hawaiian sweet rolls. And on special occasions, they put a Hershey bar between them. Can you imagine? Oh, that'd been, I'm hungry right now. I was preaching this at the church. I mentioned this. And the next Sunday, I had a lady. She brought a thing of Hawaiian rolls with a candy bar taped to the top of it. She gets away with whatever she wants in church as long as she keeps bringing that. But you know what? There's times I'll say, okay, for a month, I'm not going to eat any sugar. I like sugar and I like bread. I love bread. You know? If you don't love bread, something's wrong with you. But I'll go a month and I'll say, I'm just going to do a month. You say, why'd you do it? Because you need help? Yeah, I need to lose weight. And you know what? I lose weight every time. You cut sugar out and you cut bread out. Man, I lost 18 pounds. But I liked bread too much, so I came back to it. But you know why I did it? Just to deny yourself. When's the last time you denied yourself something? You said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it for an extended period of time. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to deny my flesh. You need to make sure you learn how to deny your flesh. And Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You have to deny your flesh. It probably cost you some friends. Now, I'm friendly with everyone. I am. My wife and I went up. We were in Chicago. I don't care to ever go to Chicago, but we were coming back from a funeral. Chad was with us when he's a little guy. So we stopped in Chicago. We were going to walk down, see Lake Michigan, and let him see that. We were going to do a few things that were right there close. So if you got a parking spot, you paid like $40 for it. And if you left and came back, you paid another $40 for it. So I just told him, we ain't moving this car until we drive out of this city. I ain't giving up this spot, and I'm not paying another $40 to park my car here. So we walked. And I'm walking, and everybody we have talked, see, I'd say, how you doing? I mean, we're going down toward Lake Michigan. There's bars on all the windows, the stores. There's one little opening you can go in. We're crossing the street. Everybody's got their head down. And I'd say, how you doing? And my wife hit me. And she said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm being friendly. She said, you're going to get us killed. And I said, for being friendly? She said, did you not notice these people are not looking at you? They don't want to talk to you. I said, that's the problem with the world. Amen. See, I'm right about that, but that's not the point. I'm friendly with everyone. I like to be friendly. You know, if you pass me in the car, I'm going to wave at you. My wife would say, do you know them? No. Do you have to know everybody you wave at? No, but that's the way I am. I'm friendly. Now, you can be friendly with everybody, but you better limit your friends. You better limit your friends. I think often of the fact, and this is a sad thing. There used to be a time when someone decided they didn't want to walk with God and didn't want to follow God anymore, and they'd leave the church and they'd be in a huff and they would just go away. But social media doesn't, nobody ever leaves all the way. They could be gone and upset and because of social media, and listen to me, young people, and because somehow something in you can't unfriend people, they keep pulling you and pulling you and pulling you, and before long you're sympathetic and you understand their position and you know why they're the way they are now, and you all of a sudden the preacher isn't right as I'm pretty sure he got that one wrong, and I'm pretty sure our church is a little too stuck on themselves. I'm pretty sure they got a little too high of a conviction here, and before long they've pulled you away. If you're going to walk after the Lord, you're going to have to deny yourself, and it's going to cost you some friends. Now, I have been around long enough and been in these kind of meetings long enough that there are people that will come and be a part of this kind of stuff, and then 2 or 3 years later, somebody will say, did you see what so-and-so posted? Now, I'm not a big read of the posters. I tell our church people all the time, I like to think you are a really good person. I don't want to get on social media and know you're not. I like to come to church and think you love the Lord. Fool me. I'd rather you fool me. But then you get these people say, did you see what they post? You see what they said? And man, they are gone so far in a different direction. Now, I'm just going to tell you something, folks. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to take a stand sometimes against friends that are pulling you in the wrong direction if you want to be one of his disciples. And you're going to have to learn how to unfriend somebody. I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not. And probably for you girls, it may be even hard. Harder than it is for guys. First of all, guys, if you've got a ton of social media followers, you need more work. You need to do something more with your life than sit around on your phone. But girls, if you've got a bunch of friends and suddenly they start going a different direction and you can tell they're changing and they're not walking with God anymore and they don't want anything to do with God anymore, you may have to stop and just say, wait a minute, I want to walk with the Savior. I want to be His disciple. And I can't follow both of these people. May cost you some friends. If you walk with God, the wrong friends will force you into a decision. God or them. God or them. What do you talk about when you're around them? What kind of music do you listen to together? And let me caution you. I want to be conscious of time here. Friends on Facebook aren't friends. I can't understand for the life of me. Somebody says, I've got 100 friends. That means you probably don't have any friends. You need to come around real people. You know, that when you sit next to them, sometimes you can look over and say, your deodorant's wore out. Real people. Your breath stinks. Here's a mint. Real people. You need to have communication with other human beings that are real human beings. And by the way, I'll say this without any hesitation, and I hope this is true of this man standing here before you till the day I die. My friends, my best friends. No, I could say probably without hesitation, basically all my friends are in church. And it's not that I've gotten mad and run people off. It's just I'm still trying to do this and serve the Lord, and they want to go a different direction. There's been a natural divide. You say, Brother Glenn, do I got to run all my friends off? Do I got to post something on? When I get out of here tonight, I'm going to post something on Instagram. Forget that garbage. Just go serve the Lord. Just walk with God. And you know what happens before long? They don't want to hang out with you anymore. You didn't have to run them off. You just walked with God, and they didn't like it. Just serve God. Just stay close to the Lord. It may cost you some friends. But if you, he says, listen, wait a minute. If you, any man will follow after me, let him deny himself. Do your friends talk right? Dress right? Have the right music? Faithful to God's house? High moral standards that are promoting them to personal holiness? It may cost you something. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let's go to Luke 14 and I'm done. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them. Now here's an interesting thought when you study Jesus Christ. If anybody could have built a mega church, Christ could have built a mega church. Every time the crowd got big, he would turn and ask them a very pointed question, and then he'd run everybody off. Most of us, most American churches play church. Jesus didn't play church. This great multitude's with him. Look what he says in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, now watch, he cannot be my disciple. He said, Brother Glenn, I don't understand that. We're not supposed to hate our parents and we're not supposed to hate our brothers. And it's okay to hate your sister, I think, but it's, you know, particularly Connie. You know, if you've been here, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we've been told that we're to love ourselves and it's all about us and hate your own life also. You mean you got to be suicidal? No, that's not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. If you place anybody's opinion above mine, you cannot be my disciple. If you value what anybody else says over what the Lord says, you cannot be his disciple. It takes commitment. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We may talk a minute about that and in part of the message tomorrow. So it takes a commitment. It takes a cross. But I want you to read the last part here, in verses 28 through 33. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet that which meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's a commitment. There's a cross to this thing, and there is a calculated, listen to me, a calculated cost. Here's what I want you to try to do tonight and maybe tomorrow. I want you to calculate whether you're willing to really follow the Lord or not. You know what we do with these kind of things? We try to get everybody hyped up and get the altar full, and everybody comes down and makes a momentary commitment. This passage isn't that. This passage is this. I want you to go sit down. And I want you to think it through. And I want you to put some thought into this. Am I really willing to pay whatever the price is for me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Can we make it right down where y'all live? Am I really willing that if God doesn't want me to get married, to say, I won't settle for somebody that's not what God says I'm supposed to have as a husband or a wife. I'll count the cost. Are you willing to say, you know what, the truth of the matter is, I've got some things in my life that I'm looking at or I'm watching or I'm listening to, or I've got friends that I'm willing to say, you know what, I love the Lord so much, I want to follow Him so much, I'm willing to get rid of all of that stuff. I'll calculate the cost. Okay? You can run down here and make a decision. And I hope if you're willing, maybe tonight, instead of saying I'm going to do that commitment, maybe just come down and say, Lord, would you make me willing to count the cost? Would you make me willing to calculate? Would you make me willing? I want to be willing to follow you. And I don't want to make it a flippant commitment. Man, I hope my wife understood that whenever she came down the aisle and I made a vow to her, and I tell people all the time, I didn't make a vow to a preacher. I didn't make a vow to the church. I made a vow to my wife, but I made a vow to God. And I took it serious. There was some calculated cost involved in the decision. It wasn't a flippant, I had a feeling, I loved you. Man, you're really hot. Let's get married. That's the world. It's the world. I was joking with Emily, and she's going to get embarrassed when I say this. She won't get embarrassed at me. We were joking in the hallway. I said, so, did you find anyone? Do you want me to help you find a guy here? I can help you find a guy. I will do this for you. I will talk to your dad when we go home. I'll do this for you. And so one of the other girls out there said, and I don't want to say this because all you guys will be wondering if you're talking about you. Somebody said, well, there was one that was pretty good looking. And I jokingly said, that's a big check mark that kind of covers every box. That's how the world thinks. That's how the world thinks. Everything else will work out. Everything else will be fine. Everything else. You better, hey, Emily, I love Emily. Emily loves the Lord. She wants to serve God. She's been on multiple missions trips. She serves on the bus ministry. I heard her. She didn't know I heard her in the hallway. We're getting ready for our big teen blast coming up. I heard her talking. I believe it was Chad saying, let's get some flyers printed up. Let's try to cover a bunch of these houses to make sure a bunch of teens show up so that we can give them the gospel. That's her heart. God help her if one of these even good-looking guys ruins that. Count the cost. This is a calculated decision. It's not flippant. How much do you love your Lord? How much are you willing to follow? God wants you to think it through. Count the cost to make this commitment. By the way, this is something you have to decide personally. I'm finished with this. You have to decide this personally. I wish I could make the decision for you. You say, Brother Glenn, this is pretty discouraging. You can't be my, I can't follow the Lord if I won't deny myself. I won't take my cross up. I have to follow Him and do what He says. But you listen to me. If you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in for the life that the world is telling everybody they want, just don't know how to have. I was listening the other day to the news, and you know the world's way of dealing with people that are now, this is hilarious, that because the borders have cut down some, the drug supply has been somewhat stymied, and they decided some people can't get their drugs, and it's making them antsy, and they need their drugs. So there was a politician that put forth a thing, the best way to do that is for the government to fund their drugs. I'm telling you, the world's messed up, people. The world's messed up. Why would you listen to anything the world has to say? Y'all are smarter than that, right? Hey, if you're smarter than the world, raise your hand. You're smarter. You know the world doesn't have the answers here. You know that the world's philosophy isn't going to work. Follow Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Can you put God first every time? All the time? That's tough. That's tough. And all of us that are older would tell you there's times we didn't do that. But I'm going to tell you, when we do, you say, is it easy? Uh-uh. There's a cross to it. We dress this thing up like if you make this commitment, everything's going to be roses and cherry. That's not true. But I'll tell you this, my life's been better than everybody else's that didn't follow Jesus Christ. I have something deeper inside of me. I don't have surface happiness. I have joy. I have joy. Something inside of me is different than everybody else that just wants to go out and have fun. I was joking with some of the guys at the table. I said, somebody, one of them asked me if I knew the Marshall Dairy Queen. This guy over here asked me, he said, you know Marshall Dairy Queen? I said, oh yeah. I said, I played church league softball. And I said, after church league softball, there was a bunch of people in town shutting down bars. We shut down Dairy Queen every Friday night. But I had so much more fun shutting down Dairy Queen than any of the people that went and shut down a bar. Just make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Are you willing to deny yourself? It may cost you something. It will cost you something. Your flesh, you have to deny your flesh. Well, I have a desire for this, or I want to look at that, or I want to listen to that, or I want to do this. You're going to have to deny your flesh. I'm finished with this thought. We don't resist sin anymore. We don't. It's like, Brother Mason, we've made a decision that if God somehow miraculously fixes this for me, I'm okay with it. But if not, I'm never going to be strong enough to get victory. You ought to resist. You ought to fight. I had a young man come to me. He said, Pastor, he said, I've been saved this last year. And he said, I'm really struggling with music. I'm struggling. And he said, I'll tell you what, on this night, May, whatever it was, he gave me the date. I can't remember the exact date. He said, on this date, he said, the group I listen to all the time is going to be just over a couple hours out. He said, my parents would always take me to these. We'd always go to this conference. I have to tell you, this is what he said to me. He said, I have to be honest, I really want to go. He said, what do I got to do? I said, resist, don't go. So then we went and talked to some of the young men, Chad and some of the other men. I said, hey, I don't know what we're doing on this night, but we're having an activity at the church this night. That's what we did. We had an activity for him and had him come, and he was able to resist. You say, what, why? Because you got to put up a fight to this thing. You got to resist some of this. We got to quit rolling over and saying, I can't win. I'm going to lose. Just resist. Ask the Lord to help you resist. Resist your flesh. Listen, it may cost you some friends. Some of your family may not even understand. Okay? But take a minute and look at what their life is like and what the life following Christ looks like and get past your emotion for the moment and make a decision long term. Brother Glenn, I want to walk with God. Okay, now what you're saying is I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to resist my flesh. Brother Glenn, I want to walk with God. It means it limits your friends. Brother Glenn, I want to walk with God. Some of your family may not even understand. But if you're not willing to do that, if you want to be one of my disciples, this is what you got to do. I hope you want to walk with the Lord. There's nothing better than walking with the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Mason made the comment about loneliness and stuff. And this is the truth. He made a comment, everybody feels alone. Chad's here and he's going to preach tomorrow, and I'm so grateful for that. But Chad had an electrical accident at the mill where I am part owner of it, and he got burnt, and we were in a burn unit for a week, and watching him recover. But I'm going to tell you, every night when I'd leave the hospital and I'd go back to the Airbnb, and I'm so grateful for everything that God has done, but you end every night alone. My wife's in bed next to me. I have family around. I've had visitors. I had phone calls. I had all of that. But you are just alone. You better have a walk with God. Because in those moments, it's just me and the Lord. And I'm not a huge emotional crier. I don't cry. But there were a couple nights that I spent with the Lord thinking, how in the world did anybody go through this without you? What would happen if my life wasn't centered on you and I didn't want to please you? And I don't please him all the time. I wish I was better at this thing. But there's going to be a cost to this. Are you willing to deny yourself?